Well, I want to thank everyone again for coming out Wednesday morning for these presentations. So I do work with Adele, and I are both faculty members at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Adele had to teach this evening and could not get a flight back in time if she presented this morning, so I'm here. And this work is part of a larger study that we've been doing that's been funded by the National Institute of Disability and Rehabilitation Research, which is focused on a variety of issues related to differences in access and use of services among people with and without disabilities, and we've considered those differences both for working age adults as well as older adults. And this particular piece that we're looking at is the relation between obesity and healthcare expenditures among adults age 45 to 64 and then older adults. And we have no conflicts of interest. And I also want to note that our third co-author is Lucas Gloss, who's a doctoral candidate in our program. So just a little in terms of motivation for the research, we know that there's been a trend of increasing prevalence of individuals who are overweight and obese. While there's been some hopeful evidence that this is moderating among younger children, we're still seeing increasing rates among adults and older adults. And we care about that in part because of the implications that it has for public health and policy, particularly as it relates to health consequences possibly associated with weight status as well as expenditures. But the actual evidence is mixed. While there's weak or kind of mixed evidence for the relationship between being overweight and health effects and expenditures, there's more compelling evidence related to the effects of being obese and health effects and expenditures. But much of that work has focused on kind of the population in general as opposed to people with disabilities, so we wanted to extend the literature a little bit to provide a comparison between people with and people without disabilities. So that brings us to our aims, which is to really compare these relationships, and then also to, within these two groups of middle-aged and older adults with and without disabilities, to also explore some differences by sex and race ethnic groups. So we use the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it's a national survey. It's drawn, its sampling frame is drawn out of the National Health Interview Survey. So people who are drawn into the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey are followed over a period of 2.5 years with a combination of in-person interviews and then linking of information that comes from the interview data with expenditure data and other data sources. We recently, within the last month or so, updated our database, so we've expanded it from what was originally a 2002 to 2007 database. We have data now through 2012, which would be the most recent publicly available data for a full round of the MEP survey, and you can see the sample size for adults without disabilities and adults with disabilities. I'll note, if you don't see it, these numbers look a little high, and I know when we did the analysis previously setting up, constructing database going through 2007, we had some issues around where to draw a cut score for mental health, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that here. I think these numbers are a little high because our the cut score that we're using for the having a mental health related disabilities are probably a little high in these numbers. This, much like a couple of the other surveys that we've heard about, is a complex survey design, and so we use methods to make appropriate adjustments to the design of the survey. So our dependent variable of interest is basically the total medical expenditures for the first year in the panel. We're basically looking using body mass index to categorize people as either normal weight, overweight, or being obese. People who are underweight are not included in the sample, in part because the numbers were quite small. We use the typical regressors. We didn't acknowledge Anderson's model, but this really draws from Anderson's behavioral model of health service use in terms of looking at predisposing characteristics of sex, race, ethnicity, marital status, educational attainment, enabling characteristics related to income as a measure of income relative to the poverty level adjusted for family size. And we use geographic region and whether a person resided in an MSA or not. In the analyses that we've done where we compare working age adults with older adults, we've not been able to use health insurance, although I always love to use health insurance and I always have questions about health insurance. And the reason we can't do that is among older adults, so people age 65 and older, virtually everyone has Medicare. So 96% of older adults are going to have Medicare insurance, possibly with supplements or with Medicaid, but they have health insurance. So when you split analyses between working age and older adults, age and health insurance is highly correlated in your older adult population. In some other work that we've done looking at whether, at least among working age adults, if we add health insurance, whether it attenuates findings, we see that there's some attenuation of some findings with the health insurance, but that we still get similar effects when we include or do not include health insurance. So we run separate analyses comparing middle-aged and older adults with and without disabilities, and we also stratify our analyses by sex and race and ethnicity, again, given some evidence that there are differences in these groups. Those of you who do expenditure work know that oftentimes there are people who don't use any health services in the year, so they don't generate any health care expenditures. In our sample, roughly 15% or so of the sample doesn't, there are no reported health expenditures in the year. A typical way to do that is to use kind of a two-part model in terms of predicting expenditures, and then for those who have expenditures looking or use, and then looking at what kind of the actual expenditures are in that separate group as kind of a separate analysis. That sometimes can be a bit difficult in terms of interpreting findings and things. So we took an alternate approach, which has been recommended or suggested by Will Manning, which is to use a generalized linear model with a log link function and a gamma distribution. But basically, the beauty of this is you basically run it a lot like the plain old regression, and you get coefficients, and then you can basically use post-estimation commands to get kind of marginal effects out of that particular model. So it does recognize that there's a skewness to the data in terms of lots of zeros on one side and skewed on the other end, but it can accommodate it in a single model. So we estimate predicted expenditures, again, using a post-estimation command. consider what the marginal effects are. And I should say, because it didn't make it into the slide, but we're comparing people with and without disabilities, and we've had a few other discussions related to people with disabilities, so we should talk about how people get into our study, what our definition is. We begin with six measures that Hendershot, in some work that he did for one of the disability centers funded by the National Institute of Disability and Rehabilitation Research, which are, I won't get the six, but they're basically cognitive limitations, mental health limitations, physical limitations, limitations in activities of daily living or instrumental activities of daily living, and then work-related disabilities, and there's one more in there. And so basically a person who has one or more of those specific type of disabilities comes into the sample for this particular analysis. So that's our disability measure. It just came to me. The other measure is actually a measure of vision or hearing impairment, significant vision or hearing impairment. So just a little bit of descriptives. This is just four people with disabilities in our sample, comparing those age 45 to 64 and 65 plus. in terms of what we're focusing on, well, you can see expenditures are high, but you tend to see expenditures higher in an older adult population. You can see that normal weight status is a little higher for older adults relative to working age adults, while people who are obese, the percentage share is a little higher for adults aged 45 to 64 relative to older adults. The younger population is a little bit more heterogeneous in terms of race and ethnicity and has slightly higher levels of poverty status. Then I have four graphs, and these get summarized in a table after this. So this is just to kind of give you an overall picture of what's going on, comparing, first of all, adults 45 to 64, and then adults 65 plus with a disability and then without. Blue's normal weight, orange is being overweight, and the green is obese. The general general pattern is that across non-elderly and elderly with disability and without, you see typically, but not in all cases, higher expenditures associated with people who are obese, and you see that in the kind of all category as well as by gender and race and ethnicity. These are the numbers for older adults. The main thing to notice here, in addition to that kind of pattern that we saw previously, is that the overall expenditures are higher, so that kind of average expenditures in the older adult population are about $3,000 higher, and we'll come back and see the exact numbers in a minute. And then these just show you people without disabilities, age 45 to 64. Same pattern, but overall, and actually perhaps a more pronounced pattern in terms of the height of the green bar relative to the normal weight and the overweight for people age 45 to 64. And then these are for older adults with no disabilities. So this shows you there, I have two tables. This is basically the predicted marginal effects associated with being either overweight or being obese with no disability and with disability. And you can see the most consistent findings, again, are related to people who are obese in terms of those are, in almost all cases, significant both for people without a disability and people with a disability. And again, the marginal effects for people with disability are somewhat higher than those without. So if we look, for example, the expenditures for whites for people age 45 and 64 without a disability, predicted expenditures are about $1,200, and it's almost twice that for people with a disability. As you see, it's not entirely consistent, that kind of effect, because among blacks, the predicted expenditures are actually a little lower. Although, again, we haven't really tested the effects of the differences between these. For 65-plus, again, we see a similar pattern of significant findings related to being obese, both for people without and with a disability, with somewhat higher numbers for people with disabilities. So what does that mean, or why do we care about it? I think, again, kind of the general story is that We, consistent with previous literature, saw the strongest effects related to people who are obese in terms of having higher healthcare expenditures. And we also observed those to be higher for people with relative to people without disabilities, but that wasn't consistent. While that was the general trend, we didn't see that across all groups. I should note that this is preliminary work, and we're going to continue to do some analyses in terms of actually kind of doing using kind of post estimation commands to basically test and see if these are indeed significant differences. But why do we care? I I used to joke when I worked at the Healthcare Financing Administration, which I worked at for 10 years before I became a faculty member full-time, and I always joked that I worried about the care in Healthcare Financing Administration and other people worried about the financing or the kind of the expenditure piece. So I think more, so expenditures to me are kind of a marker for trying to understand what's going on. Of course, we worry about expenditures in terms of the amount that this country spends on healthcare and the impact that that has, particularly on public programs and things. But I think it's important to try to understand what's driving that, and in particular, is it, which reflects actually a little, I think, to some of the other papers that I presented, is it really a marker for kind of the quality of care that people are receiving? So I think kind of the direction to go here is, once you actually see these differences, is then to really dig in as much as you can with the data and to kind of understand kind of what's behind it, perhaps in terms of kind of the adequacy of care provided. We've done some work actually with these particular analyses looking at the role of having a usual source of care and whether that was an important predictor for people with and without disabilities around a range of services. So that's, and it was, and the best thing for you is to have a person that you always see for your care, and that has very strong impacts on preventive care and likely could have some impacts on people's use of services as it relates to their obesity status. So so that's, again, it's kind of some preliminary work, but that's kind of where we'd like to head, is to do some more formal testing and then do some thinking and look at some possible, we've essentially looked at some kind of moderator effects here in terms of gender and race and ethnicity, and then to consider whether there are potential mediators that might be able to kind of address some of these differences. So, thank you. Oh, and actually, I have to leave you with, Adele has a dear friend, also a colleague, who always closes her presentation, so this is Adele's dog that I have to leave you with. This is Dexter.